Usually this time of the week, I'm in my closet. Lorraine has got dinner on, and I can smell it upstairs. And sometimes Prince Pippin the Pup comes up and chews on my shoes. Well, this week is completely different. I'm in the palatial penthouse suite of the Queen City Podcast Network. Can you get me a Perrier?
On it.
On it. Okay. Boy. Boy. With Brian Bolshevitz, because we're producing a new podcast. In addition, a bonus podcast, which I want the record to reflect that I am the one who named this. CLT1ST. It looks better when you see the logo. CLT, like Charlotte, first. And we are billing this with a tagline, which I have made up. News for people who hate news. So if you've given up on the news, you think it's just too depressing. And believe me, I left local news almost 9 years ago. No, let the record reflect. I was thrown out of local news. I did not leave voluntarily. I was dragged away. But we are trying to do local news that A, is local, and B, is news. So the death and the mayhem and the depressing stuff, we try to leave out of that. So we'll hope you'll check it out, especially if you're from Charlotte, or even if you're not. If you're not from Charlotte, if you're from the other side of the world, let it be said here, we are revolutionizing local news. A radical revolution is taking place here. We don't think that local news or any news has to be just end of the world depressing, brought to you by Xanax. You know, we're not doing that. Onward and upward to this week's In Her Words, coming up on 4 years, going into the fifth year. Robin Norwood. More in a moment.
Sometimes my mom will like look at me and just say, where did you come from? Because I'm like the complete opposite of how I grew up.
This is In Her Words, a podcast from manlisting.com, featuring one man listening to the stories of real women in their own words. In Her Words, a conversation worth hearing, because every woman deserves to be heard.
Hey there, and welcome to In Her Words, the podcast. I'm Stuart Watson. I think this is like episode 207. So I'm saying like have recorded more than 200 interviews with 200 individual women. This week, Robin Norwood, who was recommended to me by my friend Leanne Walker, and I drove way the hell out in the woods. I don't know where I was in South Carolina, and talked to Robin on her porch where there was a hawk that passed by and the gun range you will hear in the background, the episodic gunshots. No one was harmed in the making of this. And Robin, if you think, oh yeah, all of a sudden she starts dropping some major names in the newscast because she got into, or excuse me, in her interview, because she got into Hollywood producing. What a crazy story, Robin Norwood.
Where were you born?
I was born in East Liverpool, Ohio, but I grew up in West Virginia, across the river.
And what brought your parents to that part of the world?
They grew up there, both of them, and really never left. They've never lived anywhere else, like West Virginia, Ohio. They've never lived anywhere else.
What kind of work did your mom and dad do?
So my mom was a homemaker. She worked a little bit whenever I got to high school, just to help pay for college. My sister was going into college, you know, just to help with those bills. But the majority of my childhood into high school, my mom stayed at home. My dad worked in the steel mill, Weirton Steel.
Did he make good money?
You know, my dad, I mean, he did for that area, but he had to work a lot of doubles, like two shifts, a lot. Like, I remember one year, he worked so much, he was always at work, working doubles, that I think he made $50,000 that year. Like, and he worked a lot, a lot.
Did your mom ever work outside the home?
Just when I was in high school, she got a job at Walmart, and she loved it. She had a couple of girlfriends there that, you know, they just goofed off, but they had a lot of fun. But that was it. You know, she's worked since then. You know, my mom and dad divorced, and my mom got a job like at a retail store, but she doesn't work anymore.
How old were you when they got divorced?
I was grown, so, that's a good question. I think I was in my early 30s.
Did it surprise you?
No, not at all. It was one of those things, it's about time, Mom. You know what I mean? It was one of those things, like, she just went through a lot with my dad, a lot.
How did that impact, like, her, you watching their relationship, how did it impact you in relationship?
Oh, gosh. Here we go. my parents' relationship that I can remember, I don't remember a lot. What I do remember, they got along pretty well. You know, my mom cooked, cleaned, did, you know, what she thought she needed to do. My dad was very stubborn and young, immature, didn't have good guidance probably from his own parents, you know, and was just doing the best he could. But I don't really have a good relationship with my dad. I don't know if you knew that or not. I don't want to get upset. My dad just wasn't good to my mom. You know, he was supportive. My dad was very supportive financially, but that's it. Like, he wasn't a dad, you know, he wasn't a dad. I used to blame him for a long time. I probably blamed him up until 2 years ago, probably, you know, but then I realized, because of my own situation with my own kids, I realized my dad was doing the best he could with what he knew, you know, because that's where I'm at with my kids. I'm in this place of growth, and I have been for the last 2 years, about realizing the decisions I made over the years have impacted my kids in a negative and a positive way, good and bad. And that's when I saw the mistakes I made have affected my kids, the mistakes I made, it's like collateral damage, you know?
And how old are your kids? I don't even
know. So my son is 22, my daughter Reagan is 20, and then Harley's 11. Mm-hmm. My son just graduated from Pitt.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah. 3.8. Like, I'm really, really proud of him. He worked really hard.
Now, are you divorced?
I am divorced. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what's the good they got from you?
The good that they got from, that my kids got from me?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I'm still kind of, because they're young, they're still learning, growing, you know, I'm not seeing it yet, but what I hope they got from me is you have to work hard to get through life in a way, a comfortable way. Like, I grew up, we didn't have much, you know, I didn't wear the Nike sneakers. I didn't wear Reebok. I was wearing like Pro Wings from like Payless, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I probably just aged myself, but
did,
you know,
did the kids pick on you?
No. I mean, I was fairly popular in school. I didn't get picked on, but I'm hoping that my kids, I've instilled grit. I want my kids to be well-mannered, and they are. Like, people come to me, like, my kids' friends will come to me and tell me how good my kids are and how well-mannered they are and how, you know, but as far as, like, what I'm seeing that they've learned from me, I'm not seeing all of it yet. It's all coming together because I'm still going through this point of growth myself, realizing that I was like a part-time mom because I was so focused on business. I was just juggling, trying to be the best mom, be the best boss, you know, the most successful, have a, you know, a successful company. And I've just learned, like, even though I thought I was being a great mom through hard work, trying to show them, like, you got to work hard. Like, things aren't just going to come to you. So that part, it's still all coming together. Maybe we need to circle back in a couple of years, you know, but I have good kids, and that's so important to me. I want my kids to give back. You know, they see me do it. I involve them with some of the things that I do for the community. So I hope that they take all these things that they see me doing, positive things, and can go out into the world and do it themselves.
So do you have, remind me, you have two girls and a boy?
Yes, yes.
So I have a son who's 26, a little bit older. It's a completely different world. I mean, there's been 9/11, there've been two wars, there's been, it's just the Generation Z, even after the millennials. Talk to me about what a mom can teach a boy about emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence, in my opinion, comes with maturity. You know, controlling your emotions with any situation, any good, bad, whatever it is, you know, because our sons can, and I guess for us, it's a little different because I'm basically raising my kids. Their dad lives in Columbus, Ohio, so I've raised them kind of on my own. He's there, but not there every day. And I was trying to be a dad. Not really, but trying to teach my son something I didn't even know how to teach. Like, didn't, you know, to, over time, certain lessons. Even one time, like, I got physical with him, and I'm thinking, like, I'm their mom. I'm not supposed to be doing these things, you know. But, you know, my son, I've seen his growth emotionally. You know, he and his girlfriend have a baby. She just turned one. And I've seen a whole change in him. You know, it was very rocky in the beginning when his girlfriend first got pregnant. You know, they're both in college. My son's at Pitt. She's at Clemson. You know, we talked about this, you know, don't get pregnant. Don't, you know, and I feel like I failed as a mom because that's changed their path, you know? They have to be parents now, and they're young themselves. They're still kids. They are, you know? So the emotional intelligence, my son is learning on his own. He's learning, you know, from myself, because I take those moments with him when, you know, it's tough or whatever. I really take those moments and try to have those hard conversations and teach. But I haven't always been like that because I didn't know how. It's like literally these last 2 years, I tell people that have met me within these past 2 years, really since COVID, I've just taken this deep dive selling my companies allowed all this free space to, you know, open up, because I've just been work, work, work. That's all I was ever taught. Work, work, work. Like, my dad used to have us, I know this is off topic, but my dad used to take us out Saturday mornings in the snow sometimes cutting firewood, because we would burn our house, or we would heat our home with wood. We had a wood burning fire, like, you know what I'm talking about, those stoves? Yes, a wood stove. You know, you'd throw that wood in there, and that's what heated our house. So when the wood was getting low, he would wake us up on Saturday mornings, you know, no matter what. It, freezing, didn't matter, you know. A foot of snow, we're out, you know, helping cut wood. And I know that's why I am the way I am today, because I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm not afraid to work hard. So I've tried to instill those things in my own kids. And with this generation, it's been hard. It's hard. These kids are different. And I blame myself. You know, I wanted my kids to have the things I didn't have. I travel with my kids. I buy my kids expensive things. But I've worked hard to be able to afford these things. You know, it's not like all this just happened overnight. It didn't, you know, like I look back, I worked hours and hours and hours. Like, my first job was in Pittsburgh, National Real Estate. We would work over all the time. I was making $14,000 a year back then. You know, and I just had these huge goals, and I just wanted to provide my kids with so much more than I had. But the side of that where I think I've gone wrong is my kids aren't spoiled, but they didn't have to work as hard as I did to get the things that I wanted and to do the things that I did. You know, I've given my kids so many more experiences. Travel alone. We didn't travel growing up. Like, we may have driven to Lake Erie, which is like 2 hours away, or gone to Kings Island, which was in Ohio, or Columbus, the Ohio State Fair, you know. But we didn't go to the beaches. We didn't get on an airplane. I didn't fly for the first time until I was in my 20s, you know, or my kids, they've been on planes since they were little. So it's just completely different.
Do you get to see your grandbaby?
Oh, I do. Every day almost. Yeah, I keep her. I help out a lot as much as I can. Because, you know, I want his girlfriend to finish college. I want her. That was so important to me whenever we found out she was pregnant. I just didn't want. I want to set them up for success. So I'm very supportive, and I will help out however I can, you know, so that Ella can take tests and do what she needs to do, so she can finish college, because that was the main goal, was to get them through college. And my son did just graduate. Actually, last Friday, he graduated from Pitt. Yeah, he busted his ass over the summer. Like, he had to do an internship. He was working full-time for Ortho Carolina. He was taking classes, summer classes, so that he could graduate early, you know. So, you know, he's definitely worked hard. So I think I've, you know, done a few things right. A few things wrong, but...
Well, he's also got some synapses firing.
Mm-hmm.
If he's got a 3.8 and he graduated in, what, 3.5 years?
No. This was his... So this was 4.5. It was 4.5.
Yeah.
When he transferred from Coastal Carolina, some of his classes didn't transfer.
Yeah.
So it put him back a semester.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still. But he did it. Yeah. Yeah. So now he's job hunting, and that's a whole... It's just disappointing, our job market. It's like so many people are saying, well, they're hiring, but...
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
I think for these... kids, that it's all about creating things for yourself. So to jump way ahead, how did you go from being an employee to being an entrepreneur? Because it's a huge mind shift.
Sure. You know what? I always had the entrepreneur. Let me just tell you a story. So growing up, a lot of little girls are playing Barbies, baby dolls. I was playing business. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I would play Barbies, I play babies, but I loved playing business, getting the calculator, getting all these forms and paperwork and the stapler. And my parents had one of those old console stereos, you know, the one where it's down inside and you slide the door open, you know? That's where I'd set up my desk, you know, when I would play business. And I don't even remember what I would do. Like,
instead of the record player or the cassette or 8-track.
Yes.
You would have a business desk.
I would. Yeah. So that was something I had in me probably when I was born. I had a list. I remember being on the bus, sitting in the back seat of the bus, going down Murray Road one day, thinking about all these things I wanted in life. I was probably in seventh grade, maybe younger. And I just had all of these goals. And I remember I put it on paper when I got older, you know, like much older, I put all these things on paper. And a lot of them were superficial stuff, like stuff, you know, I wanted a Bentley. So I bought a Bentley. I wanted, you know, like things like that.
You did buy a Bentley?
I did. Yes, I did. I bought a Bentley.
You regret it at all?
Oh no, I love her. I love cars.
Is she still around?
Yes, she is. Yeah, I bought my Bentley 3 years ago. It's been almost 3 years, yeah.
Why a Bentley?
I don't know. I probably saw it in a magazine at the grocery store with my mom when I was little. I don't know. Like, a Louis Vuitton purse was on that list. You think we knew what Louis Vuitton was in West Virginia? Like,
Buy a Louis Vuitton purse?
You know I did. I probably
Where
have
did you get
20.
It?
My first one I ordered online. It actually was a piece of luggage. Let's rewind. I had a fake one whenever I was in high school that came from New York City, like Chinatown or whatever. But that's the thing. Like, I've bought everything I wanted. And my list is different now. I'm completely changed. My bucket list, if you will, is completely different.
Like, so what's your list now?
My list now is saving the world. I want to travel, but I like helping people. Like, I really feel that is my purpose. Like, through my travels, I've seen so much. Like, because I traveled a lot for work. I was in sales, you know, when I worked for ServiceLink, I traveled a lot. Just I worked for a couple of companies before I owned my own company.
What's the trick to sales?
Don't be fake. Oh my goodness. Like, I remember I was hired by this one company and it was all guys. I was the only female. And I was like, I'm going to do more. I'm going to have, you know, top numbers and sell more than all of them combined. Like, because when you work with a sales team, everybody has their own pitch. Everybody has their own way of doing it. And these guys just didn't, some of them were good, but some of them came across as like used car salesmen. And that's just a turnoff for me. What I feel, in my opinion, my success was being authentic, because I truly care about people. I truly care about my clients. I'm still friends with a lot of my clients. I'm still friends with clients from 20 years ago that even now that I'm in the movie world, you know, entertainment world, at the Tribeca Film Festival that was in New York, like, some of my clients from New York came to that I haven't even done business with in 8-10 years, you know? My success...
I clearly should do better research. What the hell were you doing at Tribeca?
Oh, so
when See, I know nothing.
Oh, No, there's a lot. I'm doing a lot now. I'm way more busy now than I've ever been with real estate. But I'm doing it better. I'm more efficient. You know, I'm not letting it take all my time like I did real estate. Because real estate, you know, I was just figuring it all out, you know, but I feel now that I'm almost halfway through my life, like I'm finally figuring it out. So
how do you know? How old are you?
Do we have to do that?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was rude.
Do you see that huge bird?
I know.
That's a hawk. It'll sit on this fence over here sometimes. So I'm going to be 50 soon.
You could live to be 120.
I hope I can. Yeah. I have a lot to do. A lot that I want to do.
Well, yeah. You seem like you're in great shape.
Yeah, I mean, I take care of myself. I always have. In my 30s, I just started taking care of my skin. Like, I look back, I've been so hard on my body, you know, just running through airports and heels, you know, just so much. But I'll go back to the movie thing. When I sold my companies, I went to the Super Bowl and I had this jacket. And I talked about this in another podcast that I did, but this jacket got the attention of someone that was in the entertainment world, music and movies. And he reached out to me. We developed a friendship. And I started investing in movies. And the first movie I did was filmed in New Mexico, Leroy. That was the one for the Tribeca Film Festival. I met Danny Glover. I met Steve Zahn, Matthew Del Negro. Like, these guys are, I mean, everybody knows Danny Glover, but Steve Zahn, you know, he's in a lot of movies, on shows. Even Matthew Del Negro, like, he's been on a lot of CSI, Law and Order, like, you know. So it was so much fun being on set, because I remember thinking, like, how did I get here? Like, how did this little girl from this dirt road get to here?
Because you lived on a dirt road?
A dirt road, not a gravel road. Like, they literally would put oil on it in the summertime just to keep the dust down, you know, like a dirt road. And we had cows. My family, the Sixes, that's my mom's maiden name, Six. We all lived on Murray Road. So my great grandmother, her family owned a lot of land, and her land, all of her kids divided up, you know. And then, like, my mom's dad, you know, my mom ended up building a house on Murray Road. I built a house on Murray Road. There were stipulations. You couldn't just, like, chop it up. Like, we had to live along Murray Road. You couldn't live way back in the woods, you know, unless it was manicured right, if that makes sense. Like, they did a really good job trying to keep it as neighborhood like as possible. But yeah, where was I going with this?
How did you leave there?
I have an opportunity to acquire American Home Title. But I always wanted to leave. I always wanted, and I tried early on. Like, when I dropped out of college, I started working at National Real Estate. I ended up moving to Charlotte. I moved here back in the 90s. Actually, it was the year that the Panthers were building their stadium. I hated Charlotte. Like,
why? Why
you gotta be so mean? It was so slow. Like, there was no fast. Like, you would sit, if you were trying to get a sweet tea or whatever at a fast food restaurant, like, you waited. Like, it wasn't.
There was
fast.
Not a sense of urgency.
There was no sense of urgency. And then the company I worked for at the time, I was bored. Like, people didn't move fast enough for me. It was not a good mix for me coming from this fat. Like, I'm just a very busy, fast paced. I can't sit still. Charlotte wasn't ready for me, I guess. Or I wasn't ready for Charlotte, because
it's changed
so much, because I moved to Columbus, Ohio, worked for a title company there, ended up moving back to Pittsburgh to open a national company for that company. So I was like the guinea pig. I was going to move back to Pittsburgh because that company, they were only licensed in Ohio. They were only doing business in Ohio. So I'm coming from a national company, you know, from Pittsburgh to Columbus, Ohio. And I told these guys, I was like, you've got to go national. You can't just do business in Ohio. You know, it's so they trusted me enough after years working with them, that they gave me an opportunity to move to Pittsburgh to start a national company. I did that. And then it was, 2007, 2008, the market crashed. All of our clients shut down, all of them, all the mortgage companies, all the subprime lenders all shut down. So they ended up closing their doors. And that's whenever I went to ServiceLink and started working for ServiceLink, which, you know, they're like a $3 billion company. They're ginormous.
What did they do?
Same, a national title and appraisal company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they do business for the big banks, Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, like big banks. Where the company I worked for prior was just middle mortgage, you know, mid-tier mortgage companies, not the big companies.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you decide to sell?
Oh, you know, real estate owned my life for many, many years, and COVID, it was COVID, just... we went, you know, interest rates dropped during COVID and our business just took off. And, you know, you had to transition a lot of our staff to home and we had to hire so many people. We had to do interviews through Zoom. We were hiring people that I hadn't even met face to face, paying, you know, few thousand dollars to get them set up at home. You know, we had to hire probably 20 to 30 people during COVID in a very short amount of time. It was very stressful. And then I was having some health issues. I just wasn't loving it anymore. I was changing. We had a ransomware attack, a huge, huge ransomware attack. The FBI, Homeland Security got involved. We didn't have access to our systems. We had to do all these workarounds. They had it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. The fact that, you know, I sold when I did, you know, God was looking out for me, I guess, you know, because the market turned. It took a real turn, even worse than 2008. We didn't expect that. We expected volumes to drop maybe 30%, but they dropped like 50-60%. But I've been in real estate so long, you have to watch the market. You have to pay attention to what's going on in the economy, because when rates start shifting, that's messing with your bottom line. Your volumes are changing. Your business is changing. So prior, you know, pre-pandemic, historically, your business would drop off a little bit, 20%, 30%, but a
you
pandemic.
You said, thank God, looking out for you. Are you a believer?
I am, yeah. I'm a very spiritual person. You know, I grew up in the church. I grew up, gosh, that's a whole other hour conversation in itself. We went to church 3 times a week. Like, that's not even a joke. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And my parents were strict about it. Like, I could probably count on 2 hands the times that I was allowed to miss church, you know.
What is your understanding of a higher power now, and how does it differ from back then?
You only know what you're taught. And you can only acknowledge what your mind allows you to. But once you realize, like, the things you were taught weren't necessarily the right things, because it's like my parents were taught from their parents were taught from their parents. It doesn't mean it was right. So even with religion, the Church of Christ has always been what I've known. But now I'm in this place of wanting to know so much more about all religions. I respect all religions. And as I get older, even with the war going on between Israel and Palestine, like, you have to respect them both, because it's something that I cannot fathom nor understand, because it's not anything it's different from what I know, what I was taught. So I'm more open-minded now. I'm more We all have the same creator. That's why, like, sometimes I get so frustrated with people because there's so much hatred around religion. And I don't even like talking about religion, but it's, I just wish everybody could come to this place of, we all have the same creator. We just have different beliefs, and that's okay. Everybody needs to be okay with that. And I feel if everybody would just respect it and not have this hatred towards it, we could have a happier world, a more peaceful world. But I don't think it's ever going to be, ever, ever.
Do you pray?
All the time. I pray, meditate. I'm outside. I love being outside, connected. Like, I laugh because I'm not, I don't want to say I'm a tree hugger, but like, I literally have a completely different appreciation for that term, you know, because I just love the outdoors, and I really feel that's helped me with my growth and spirituality. And I don't go to church, you know, every Sunday. But I pray a lot, and I live my life the best way that I can. I do right by people. Even whenever you're like questioning certain things, you know, just the situation I'm going through right now with my former business partners, like I kind of told you a little bit, you know, when you see that people live a certain way and that they are believers and, you know, doing good things in the community, yet they're doing things not so right that aren't, and I'm not really saying that, I have to kind of be careful with my word. I have to be careful with my words because I'm in a, like, a active lawsuit right now.
I understand.
Hypocritical. It is. It's hypocritical. Like, you know, I've just learned so much, and really that situation has opened my mind up more about religion and trying to understand it more, and understand people more and why people do what they do. And I've just really, and I'm still naive to things. I still have a lot to learn. I was kind of sheltered growing up, you know, on a dirt road. You can only do so much, you know. We rode four wheelers. We played in the woods. Like, we didn't have phones. We didn't even have cable TV. We didn't even have air conditioning. And I just laugh because sometimes my mom will like look at me and just say, where did you come from? Because I'm like the complete opposite of how I grew up. You know, I still have those humble beginnings in me, and I will always have those. But I just wanted bigger. I wanted more. I just always knew as a little girl there was more out there.
Have you ever asked her to move down here?
Oh my gosh. Like, I was even going to buy her a house a couple years ago. Like, I was actively looking for houses.
Well, why won't she do it?
My mom is just an old fashioned, good woman. And she still doesn't have cable TV. She still doesn't have central heat or central air, like, she's just a simple woman. She likes to cook. She likes to be outside on her back patio or front porch. She's just a simple woman, the complete opposite of me. I try to take her to get facials, Botox, all these things, and she's just like not having any of it. So she doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to leave West Virginia. That's her place. And I understand it. You know, I do. And I respect it. Those are her wishes, what she wants.
If you could go back and put your arm around yourself in your 20s, what would you tell?
Everything's going to be okay. Because I, you know, I feel like I have like lived my life in this, like, I was never going to have enough money. Like, even now, like, I've sold my companies and I'm in a good financial situation. I still don't feel like it's enough. I just don't. And I want to set my kids and my family up, my nieces and even some of my friends' kids. Like, I want to I need to do more because I want to make sure that they're going to be okay. I don't want them to have the same fears, those same, because when you live in that fear, trying to survive, pay bills and living paycheck to paycheck, it's this, and I know 95% of Americans are doing that today, but you can't live your best life having those fears, not having enough money, not worrying about paying your bills.
What's enough?
Enough is when you don't have to have a boss. Enough is when you're not working that 9-to-5. Enough is when you can do the things that you're supposed to be doing, your purpose, your, and I'm just now getting to that, getting to my purpose, getting to really helping people. Like, I've always helped people. I've always helped the homeless. I've always wrote checks. I've always helped the turkey drives. I've always, you know, helped the baseball teams and helped sponsor a kid that didn't have the money to do. I've always done those things, but I was just scratching the surface. I want to do it on a much bigger scale. I want to help a lot more people. I want to be in a position that I can do that. And I'm still not in the position. I don't have enough money to do the things I want to do, if that makes sense. I'm getting there. I'm definitely getting there. You know, I have two other movies, which I have an animated film.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The animated film.
And you've produced these.
Executive produced, yeah. I'm helping fund. I get to help a little bit. With some of them, I've been able to help a little bit. But I'm still learning that whole industry. I've been asked to produce movies with a pretty big production company, which was, you know, there were two stories we were trying to get, but we didn't get them because it's like it becomes a bidding war. I'm learning all of it. You know, you have to bid on these stories, and there's certain things that I want to be a part of and help produce, like feel good movies, real life stuff. But you know, these other movies, I don't know if you, so The Thicket is one with Peter Dinklage. Do you know him from Game of Thrones?
Of course.
Yeah, he's the lead.
He's very well known.
Very, very, he's amazing, amazing. We were in Canada.
The Station Agent.
Yes.
It's a very small film.
Yes. He has, there's one out right now that he's in, Hunger Games, I
yeah.
think, that yeah. he's really, yeah. really good in.
Sequel.
But The Thicket will be out probably 2025 early, but that was filmed in Canada and it was so cold. But it was so cool because they literally set up our office, like they set up the pop-up tents, they put heaters in there, they put our screens in there, and you're sitting in your chairs, you know, watching each take happen, and they're moving equipment around on sleds through the snow. Like, I have so much appreciation for the movie industry and everybody from the Grips, I mean, all of them. They all work together, and it's hard work, long hours. Doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, you know, they're getting it done. They're some of the hardest working people that I've ever met. And they don't get enough credit. Movie people, actors, actresses, like, people just think like, oh, it's Brad Pitt or oh, whoever, a superstar name. What they had to go through to get there, to get that superstar title, and whew, they don't get enough credit. They don't, because, you know, it's the superstars, they have all this money now, and they think, oh, it was just easy, but it's not easy. But one of the movies, Pierre the Pigeon Hawk, the animated film, we have Snoop Dogg, Will.i.am, Whoopi Goldberg, Howie Mandel, we have a superstar cast, Jennifer Hudson. I'm so excited for that one. Yeah, it's about diversity. Different is cool, you know. Really excited about that one. And actually, my daughter, she has a small part in that one. We got to go to New York City for her to film. It was a lot of fun.
Oh.
But it's been a nice pivot from real estate to movies. It's slow, though. You know, it's real estate's fast. Everybody needs everything. yesterday, you know, hair's on fire, and where the movie stuff is so, it's taught me patience for sure. For sure. So 2024 is going to be a good year for me. And I'm also working with the University of Notre Dame on an app. I can't get into it, but we have a whole team now. We have developers developing it, but it's been good stuff. It's just an idea that I came up with, and it's going to change the way we do things. Like, it's, I'm excited to see how this all comes together. I can't wait to talk about it. I cannot wait to talk about it.
It's a great new world.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you and I got struck by lightning today, and the only thing that survived was this little piece of audio, what is your legacy?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. I would need someone else to answer that for me, because I just move the way. Let's put it this way.
Who knows you better than anyone else? Your mom.
Oh, my mom for sure.
And oldest friend.
I would say Leanne.
Wow.
Yeah. Leanne.
Well, she hadn't known you that long, but
Leanne and I have known each other probably 6 or 7 years.
Okay,
so and my best friend Ashley. Ashley has been there since, she's my first cousin, but she's like my best friend.
The people who are closest to you are all women. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could honestly ever be that close to a man?
A husband, yes, for sure.
Is there going to be another one?
I don't know. I hope. You know, guys just fumble me. They fumble. You know, I'm not a hard person to love. I'm actually easy and simple. I do everything for myself. I have my own everything. I can buy whatever, you know, I don't need a man to provide for me financially. I need a man to understand me and know my needs and know how to move with me. You know, I want someone like that. You know, I've encountered, you know, pieces of that, you know, in different relationships. But I'm a complex person, and it takes the right man who knows who they are. A man, like, is confident in himself and really understands himself in a way. And I'm not getting this out. You know, sometimes men can be insecure. Insecure men don't work well with me. You know,
they want to control you.
Yes. And when you try to control someone like me, it just pushes me away. Like, if you support me, I am going to be 1,000% loyal. I'm going to be 1,000% supportive of anything you have going on and help you. You know, I just want someone that I can grow with, really. Like, I need someone who's like me, like-minded, you know, who wants to help people and help communities. And that's the partner I need. I don't need someone that wants to be in the bars and in the clubs and the, you know,
on the runway.
Yeah, like
the glittering lights.
Yeah, like, I just, you know, I know that these guys still exist, you know, but we'll see. We'll see if it happens again. You know, I told my therapist, like, I'm tired of getting hurt, because, yeah, but I went through life with a heaviness I didn't know I had. A heaviness that started in, you know, very young when it comes to men. So I've always chosen the wrong guys, you know? But you don't know that when you're going through it. You don't know it until you grow through it. You grow and situations force you to grow, and you learn so much from getting hurt. And I finally realized that I was picking the wrong guys for, you know, certain reasons that we don't have to get into, but now I know. So hopefully this time around it happens again. You know,
I like to say we make new and better mistakes.
Yeah. And you know, like, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I hate it for my kids. I do, like, not having that foundation of a family and a mom and dad together. And because my parents were together growing up, my parents didn't get divorced till I was grown out of the house, you know? But again, going back to, I've learned a lot about myself in the last 2 years. I took this deep dive and I've realized how my decisions have affected my kids. You know, it makes me sad, but I hope that I can help them understand, like, look, I didn't know. I was doing the best I could with what I've been taught, what I've gone through, life lessons, all these things. I did the best I could, but now I'm like just a better person because of all of that shit I went through, you know? And I hope I'm getting it right this now, you know, the second half of my life. I hope I get it right.
I think you're doing pretty well.
Thanks.
God bless you for taking time.
Is our time up already? That was fast. Gosh, and we didn't even get to it.
We'll have to do it again.
Woo! There's a lot. Yeah.
There is.
Yes, there is. There is so much.
Thank you.
But no, thank you. Thank you for coming all the way out in the country.
I heard the gunshots in the background.
Oh, there's actually a shooting range not far from here.
I was wondering if we were under attack.
You'll see a lot of deer too.
Thank you, Robin Norwood. I am so incredibly impressed with your work ethic and with your values. And I think you're a great mom. And I'm not just saying that because I want to pitch my film ideas to you, although maybe a little of that. I hope we get together. Let's do lunch, and I mean that, with my friend Leanne Walker. Thanks, Robin.
In Her Words is a production of the Queen City Podcast Network in cooperation with Balto Creative Media. Allison Andrews at Andrews Creative, Rachel Clapp Miller, and Roshonda Pratt are developmental producers. Sally Higgins at Higgins & Owens tries to keep us legal. Our music is A Day at the Park by the group Pictures of the Floating World. Your announcer is Catherine Smith. That's me. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and take a moment to rate and review. It really helps others find us. If you love us, go to our Patreon page at patreon.com. Look for Man Listening, one word, no spaces. A small investment makes a big difference in lifting up the voices of women.
A huge shout out and thank you to everyone who has contributed to In Her Words, the podcast, who has contributed to everything that we've been up to for the last 8-9 years, all these media projects. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your support. We believe one voice can change the conversation. Thanks so much.